Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I am so honored that you've chosen to give me a half an hour of your life and time. As you just heard, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and this is the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve easily into BS. I am done with any kind of BSing. I'm on the trail. I'm on the walk and the way of love. And that's the topic for today, the walk and way of love. I'm always here with this podcast to make sure you understand that this subject of love is not a shallow subject. This subject is as deep and as wide as the mountains and the oceans. It's like a moonshot. This topic of love, I believe Jesus made it very, very, very clear that if we walked in love, the world would know who we are and that we would be people following Jesus. But if we don't walk in love, then a whole wide world watching us has every reason to look at us and say, you bunch of hypocrites. So I'm done with the hypocritical side of walking my faith. I don't know that I had a lot of it, but I'm sure I've had enough. And I've given people reason to walk away from Jesus because I didn't live the walk and the way of love. So we'll get there in just a moment. And if you've been here before, you know I'm going to start off with the Lord's Prayer and Love's Creed. If you haven't been before, welcome. If you haven't listened before, wow, listen to you. Look at you. I'm happy you're here. And so I do start with the Lord's Prayer, and then we go to Love's Creed, a little something I've written. The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is the wisdom of God in a small paragraph. Long public prayers do not matter in the ears and heart of God as much as this one paragraph. I want you to remember that next time you see a whole crew of people standing up on a stage showing their prayer acumen, their prayer language of depth and theological power, or they're in a big Oval Office, or they're in a big congressional meeting or a Senate gathering, and they're praying their little hearts out. That's fine if that's what they want to do. Jesus said it's the hypocrites that love to be out there in the street corners and public places praying their voices to be heard of humans all around them. But Jesus told his disciples, here's what you pray. So join me if you know the Lord's Prayer. If you don't, listen in. It's a great contemplative way to live life. Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. When I don't know how to pray, and that's often, I simply pray that paragraph, and I put all of my life into the wisdom found in those sweet words. Now, Love's Creed, something I wrote to keep me on track as a New Year's resolution over a decade ago, and now I just carry it with me, and I offer it to you. I hope it helps you in walking into a straight, well, like is the title for today, the walk and way of love. So here it is. I'll give it to you in total, then I'll ask you to repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right? Now, repeat after me. I think it's a value to hear yourself say something that you have aimed at believing. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, if you'd like a copy of that, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be delighted to send you a copy. Or if you got questions or comments, responses to some of my topics here on the podcast, I'd be happy to respond. All right. Now, today, as I said, I want to talk to you about the walk and the way of love, the significance of walking this way and knowing that you're on a path forward that really matters in this world. It doesn't matter whether I'm a street sweeper or if I'm a CEO, if I'm a school principal or a school janitor. It doesn't matter if I'm a person working in the cafeteria at a school or I'm the superintendent of an entire school district. It matters little. Except that I find as a person who seeks to follow Jesus, I find the walk and the way of love. Now, at the risk of oversimplifying life, forget it. I'm going to take the full risk of simplifying life. I think you've all discovered life's complicated enough. And Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. I think he meant things just like this, that if you want to figure out what you're going to do with life, why don't you try the walk and way of love? The walk and the way of love is, I think, it's encapsulated in one of the first events, actually just about right in the top three events after the resurrection of Jesus, as it's recorded in the Gospel of John. It's always been fascinating to me what happens with the people in and around Jesus' circle of life right after he comes alive from the dead and they discover his resurrection. So without going too deep into many other aspects of what happened there, there's one part of it in John chapter 20 that fits right into what I want to talk to you about in this walk and way of love. Here it is. It's John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now, this is after the crucifixion of Christ, and the disciples were clearly terrified, and I would be as well if I had been amongst them. So they're locked shut in a room. Suddenly, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I think that's one of the great understatements of all liturgy, all literature, all statements in the Bible. They were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, here's the layers of what's going on. This is God's purpose in my life. Now it's God's purpose in your life. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to carry that purpose out. He breathes on them and says, "Receive this." Now, listen to what his first instruction is. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, in that one sentence, in his resurrected directions for the gathered little school of Jesus, he's giving them, this is the walk and way of what the Father sent me to do. Now I'm sending you. Now, how do I live and walk in the way of love? Well, I think it's found right there in that sentence. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I'm personally convinced that a lot of people remain in their sinful lives, according to our definitions anyway, simply because we've given them no other quarter to live by. We've given them no other means by which they can find a way to live their life free of, and the word sin means just missing the mark. And don't you feel like every day on some level you miss the mark? Well, so many people, I think, have this shame and guilt sense of life. They're trapped in whatever failures they feel like they've committed, great or small. And along comes the followers of Jesus, who really have been sent along as Jesus was sent. But along come the followers of Jesus, and we're all too often not forgiving sins, but we're pointing sins out. We're telling, hey, look at you. You don't live by standards we agree with. Oh, your standards are terrible. You're going to destroy our nation. We got to take our nation back for God. And people like you are taking our nation away. Listen, I mean, we need to listen to ourselves and then compare that to anything in any way that Jesus said. Jesus held his harshest words were for the harsh people who were behaving badly and not forgiving sin, and not forgiving what they perceived to be sin or may have been actual sin. Those were the people Jesus said, you shut the kingdom up against the poor and the needy, and when they try to get in, you blockade them. I don't want to go too deep into that part, but the point is, Jesus says to his disciples, I've been around healing the sick, forgiving sins, and doing good for all the people that came to me and are that I came across. And now I'm sending you out. And this one phrase is, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. So let me condense it. He says to them, go forgiving. Don't go condemning. Go forgiving. Don't go guilting. Go forgiving. Don't go shaming. Go forgiving. Don't cause injuries. Go forgiving. Letting things be forgiven, not retained. Because if you retain them, then people are simply going to perceive that, well, they're trapped in whatever failure, the real or perceived, that they're in. Go forgiving. The way and the walk of love is to go forgiving and to go loving. Let me put it in that context. Go loving. Don't go hating. Go loving. Don't go rejecting. Go loving. Don't go out there with a pushback against people who don't look like you, talk like you, sound like you. Go loving. Go receiving. Go embracing. Go giving people your best joy, your best kindnesses. Go out there doing good. Don't add to the burden of people about you. Relieve those burdens. Set people free in as much as you're able in any given circumstance, in word or deed. Go loving. Go forgiving. The questions that we all carry around about how do we manage people in their sexual orientations and their perceived notions of right and wrong or misconceived notions. What do we do? How do we do it? How do we manage them? Go forgiving. Go loving. Go walk the way of love. Do the hard work of loving. And it's only hard because we've made it hard for ourselves. And the more we love, the easier that yoke is, the simpler that burden is. It's not a heavy burden once you decide that this is the way I walk, this is the way I work, to do the way, to walk the walk of love, to go the way of love. Go forgiving. Now, in that context, I serve as spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat. Spiritual Program Retreat does 2 or 3 retreats a year that does an immersive program over a weekend. of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we break that into basically three retreats. Sometimes we add a fourth one. And over that weekend, we talk people through and walk people through what we have for finding recovery from drugs and alcohol. And one of the challenges we've always had, and as spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat, I've found that people are starving for a valued spiritual life, but they've been so often parlayed into a terrible misunderstanding of God. That God is disappointed in their addictions. God is disappointed in them as a human being because of their addictions. There's no way out. And as a result of there being no way out, well, there's no way to draw close to God and find God's love. People are they've been made afraid of God and God's people because of a terrible cluster of misunderstandings. And preeminent in that cluster of misunderstandings is an unloving God, an unloving divine power, a divine power that does not forgive, a divine power that just has a hardcore memory of everything bad we've ever done, a divine power, a higher power that is intent and determined to punish us for our deeds, our bad deeds done. A divine power that has the list that our most recent church experience told us. You've got to do this and this and this, and then you'll be a good Christian person. And people trapped in the disease of drugs and alcohol find themselves also trapped in a terribly anemic view of God. So my role in Spiritual Program Retreat as spiritual care director is to lead people toward a renewed and healed view and vision and embrace of God, and to accept the embrace of God, who is only loving, only compassionate, and only forgiving for all things at all times. Somebody once asked Jesus, well, how often do I have to forgive? And Jesus said, well, why don't you try 70 times 7 every day? But yeah, right? Here's what Jesus is telling them is, I'm not asking you, human beings, to do what my Father does and what I don't do. I mean, I don't. If God the Father and Jesus the Son are not forgiving 70 times 7 every day, well, then I'm not going to ask you to. But this is how God behaves. This is how Jesus behaves. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father forgiving sins. Go forgiving. John chapter 20. Go forgiving. Don't be retaining sins and failures, especially the ones we perceive to be sins and failures, but go forgiving. Carry in you a forgiving stance toward the big wide world around you, because the way of love is forgiveness. The way of love manages life and manages people in the power and the significance and the majesty and the freedom of love and in forgiveness. Letting people know that before they even ask, they're forgiven. Why? Because I live a forgiving life. Why do I live a forgiving life? Because I'm living the love of God that has been shown to me. There's as I walk through our spiritual program retreat alumni who have been to our retreats, or they come to other meetings that we carry on for aftercare, I've discovered that the more we push that accelerator on healing their misunderstandings of God, the more people are likely to discover a life of freedom, a life of hope. And even if they fall or stumble or relapse, if love and forgiveness is carried as a reality, as a true dynamic of what we are, and people discover a genuinely good God, and they know the walk and the work and the way of love is preeminent, then there's all kinds of room for discovering a spiritual life, a spiritual dynamic and a life that cherishes all others around us. In fact, in the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, we tell people that after you've found your own freedom, it's very imperative, it's very important to pass that along to others through works of service, to people who are struggling in their recovery. You've heard me here if you've listened before. One of the misnomers I have to deal with in people is that, we have to practice tough love. People need tough love, not just love. And I've untangled that for myself many years ago, and I want to untangle it for you if you're not familiar with what I've said. Love that is love is tough all by itself. Genuine love doesn't need to be tough. Because usually when people say tough love, they're creating a context where I'm going to beat you up verbally, emotionally, psychologically, and then I'm going to tell you, but don't worry, I'm only doing that because I love you. Well, I find that horribly inadequate for anybody, whether it's somebody in addiction or trying to live their life the best way they know how. Tough love isn't, for me, a practice worth seeking for anybody who's looking for freedom in life. Simply love. And the only tough part about that issue is, for me, it's not for the person I'm trying to put it on. I have to pull myself up from the temptation, and I run into it. I find my temptation to be tough on somebody and then excuse it by saying, well, I only am tough with you because of love. When I hear that in my voice or my mind or in my internal conversation, I pull myself up, back away from being tough, and love. The way of love. This is how we manage life. Go loving. Go forgiving. Go with grace. Don't go shaming. Don't go blaming. Don't go guilting. Don't go gathering up your cause for hurting people. And heal people. Hurting isn't in the category of the work of Jesus. Healing is in that category. And I'm living proof that when we forgive the sins, both real or perceived sins, when we walk in that release of forgiveness, love jumps in the middle of that dynamic. And people find a way to be who they really were born to be. And then if they're in a place where they want to confess their sins, they're going to go looking for somebody that's full of love. And they're going to look for a face that is warm and welcoming, not a grouchy, crabby, pew-dwelling monster who wants to throw Bible verses at them. No, they're going to go look for somebody in a joyful posture of life. Because the posture of life that is ready to tell people, well, we've been trying to tell you how bad your life is and how wrong you are. Glad to see you finally. No, nobody's looking for that posture. They're looking for real love. They're looking for real forgiveness. So to that end, let's draw today's podcast to a close with some practices that keep us walking the way of love and walking in the wide world around us as the pardon of God. It was said of Francis of Assisi that he walked the world as the pardon of God. Let's be people who walk the world as the pardon of God. And in order to do that, we got to learn how to breathe well, and it's a calming, centering practice. On the count of three, I invite you to take the deepest breath you know how and hold it there for the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. One, two, three, and exhale. Get centered, get settled, be still and love. Another thing that I challenge people to do here every time I record these messages, and that is do something beautiful. Walk the way of love. Walk the way of forgiveness. Be forgiving. Be loving. Do something beautiful. Ugly has had its day, is having its day, and I'm convinced there's a whole lot of really weary people. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus said. Come to me. I'm going to add to your burdens. I'm not going to add to your guilting and your shaming and your fears of not being adequate. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Do something beautiful. Give people rest. Give people a light touch of harmony, acceptance, inclusivity. Give people the full embrace of your presence. And one way you can do that is to learn how to say the three magical, holy, massively, artistically joyous words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. Folks, love's the only answer. Love is the only answer, and walking the way of love is the only answer. That's why Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, come on. Come on. Forgive anyone everything. So when we say, I love you, in some form, find a way into saying that. And I'm here every week. I'm usually saying, slow it down, say the three words. Don't just speed through it. But, you know, if you've got to break the ice a little bit and you need to speed through it, okay. But make it your goal to practice saying, I love you, in a slow cadence, in a means and a manner in which it's you have eye contact, you're communicating as clearly as you know how, and that you've stood in somebody's presence with patience. We're living in a shortened attention spans in our day, and I suffer with it myself. I know what I'm talking about here. My ever-present phone has shortened my attention span for real human connectivity, and it's something I try to be aware of every day to keep that luxury called my cell phone on a leash, so that I'm really connecting, making eye contact, intently, purposefully saying, I love you. And why do we do all these things? Well, because the biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we still got time. We need to understand where you're standing right now could be your last moment. So be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. When we pray sometimes, I think sometimes we're praying, God, give me strategic connections today that the people that I meet will be the right people for the purposes in my life. I'm not against that, but I think sometimes I wonder if everybody we meet is the strategic connection you need to make and I need to make, whoever they are, wherever they're coming from. So may we go into the world today and love everybody we meet and let our presence light new light in the hearts of others. All right, love's the only answer, folks. Let's walk the way of love. Let's walk the way of forgiveness. And let's make this world a place of the shining beauty of the love of God. God bless y'all. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.